Praise the Lord, family, and welcome to another Gift of Life show. This is Mama T coming at you, and I just want to open up with this scripture in Psalms 34:4 from several versions. I was searching for my Lord, and he gave ear to my voice and made me free from all my fears. I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He saved me from everything that made me afraid. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord, and he helped me, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. I just wanted to open that up because I really believe that we need to understand more and more that Abba God, Abba Yah, loves us. He has a plan for us, and fear is not in that plan. Faith is what pleases him. Faith is what causes us to receive from him. And fear is the opposite of faith. Believing in God casts out fear. And it said right there, I sought the Lord and he helped me and he answered and he delivered me from my fears. What an awesome God. How great is he? He is awesome. And you know, I just want you to know something, that God loves you and he has a special plan for you, but you must submit and trust and believe him and study his word. And we've been talking about righteousness on these last three episodes. This is the third one about righteousness. And you can always go to lovebyexample.com and look at the archives there, the Gift of Life show, and get caught up. But this is my third segment on righteousness. And I'm very concerned because I sense and I've been surveying and asking questions that a lot of believers are confused about what really pleases God. And a lot of believers are thinking, and even unbelievers are thinking, that they have to perform, they have to do certain things, they have to not do certain things that causes God to be pleasing to them or causes them to think that they're pleasing to God. They think by doing good works and performing and their behavior, they're trying to change their behavior to be nice to people and not mean. They think that that's a way and a means of getting into the kingdom of God or being saved or maintaining their salvation. And that's not true. The righteousness of God, I'm telling you, I've been talking about this, in and of our own selves, in our humanness, in our own thinking and opinions, and excluding God. Of course, it is not right with God, because I've talked about that. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But because God's love has offered us his righteousness, imputing that righteousness of Christ who died on the cross for us, and we get Christ's righteousness because he was the only one. Jesus Christ was the only perfect one, the perfect Messiah, but also too, he took our unrighteousness and nailed it to the cross in Colossians chapter 2. That's what it says. He made a public display of it. So it's like an exchange, a divine exchange. That's why the Apostle Paul could say, I'm crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. Not in myself, but in the Son of God who gave himself for me. And you know, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might have the righteousness of God. So when God says, be perfect because I am perfect, that's what he means. The only way you can be perfect is in Christ Jesus, or receiving what Christ Jesus has done for you and having faith in what God says about Christ towards you. And then you're perfect. So basically, as a born-again believer, you could say you're sinless just like Jesus. Because when God looks at us, those that are born again, he doesn't see our sins because they've been nailed to the cross. He sees the perfection of God, perfection of Jesus Christ's Son. So I just thank God for that. And that's called imputation. I have that message in my book a little bit, Do You See What I See, about the imparting or the imputation of God's righteousness. And in Romans 3, 21 through 22, you can read about that. I just quoted Galatians 2, 20. But the perfection and the holiness and the righteousness of God That's what we need to be perfect towards God. Other than that, there's no way we can be perfect. And Jesus said, except your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees and the scribes, you will not enter heaven. You will not be in the kingdom of heaven. And that's in Matthew 5:20. So, and again, those particular leaders of that time, they thought that their righteousness was all wrapped up in traditions and oral traditions that were left. And they made them equal with the word of God. So they felt like their traditions that they made up was just as equal as the written word of God, which wasn't at all. You can't add to God's word. So basically, the word of God got all mixed up with their traditions, and by the time Jesus came and the Beatitudes, he had to unscramble all that. You know, that's when he said, you've heard it said that, you know, you shouldn't murder. You know, he says, you heard it said that you shouldn't murder. He said, but I say, if you're even angry with your brother, you know, you're going to be judged, and judgment will come upon you. So he's looking at the attitude behind the action, not just the performance. That's why just performance in itself, just legalistic kind of ritual things that you do that make you think that you're okay with God because of what you do, that's not enough. He's looking at the heart. He's going deep into the attitude. And the only way the attitude can be pleasing to him is by having faith in his son. And that's when he takes away your old heart, your wicked heart. We talked about that, the different verses that talk about how messed up our heart is, the old heart or the old you, the old being of you. He takes that and destroys that, and he gives you his new heart. And so therefore, you are there righteous before God. So I just wanted to just mention that, and just know that he is good, and he is great. And he didn't have to do any of that for us. And so the attitude that we should have is an attitude of gratitude that we want to perform and do good works. Because faith without works is dead. But we want to do good works from our new position that we have, from the new status that we have, our new identity in his power, not ours, in his righteous power, not in our energy. And then we'll become more spiritual minded. We're going to grow more in our faith. We're going to be able to pursue the gifts and the talents that he has given us. We're going to follow Christ's example. And then we'll be obeying God and doing his will and giving him, performing the right sacrifices that he wants us to give him, and not be like Cain. Remember, we talked about Cain. We're not going to be like Cain, because he tells us in Jude, don't act like Cain. Don't be like Cain. Or excuse me, in 1 John, he tells us don't be like Cain. And also he's mentioned in Jude. And you know, we talked about Cain and how that anger, see that anger, he was angry because God didn't accept his sacrifice because he didn't give what God said he needed to give. But Abel was accepted. But Cain didn't. He got angry and he argued and he lied and he killed his brother. And so it's very pride, basically. It's all pride. Because when you really think about it, the scriptures talk about that all pride, all arguments, all problems that come to us, it all starts off and stems from pride. I'm telling you, pride is a horrible thing. I have the verse right here. I think it's Proverbs 13:10 right here. Pride comes by contention and quarreling, fighting, and strife. So if you're arguing with God, and you're arguing with yourself, and you're just angry and arguing and just fighting and quarreling and just not experiencing this peace, you know what it is? It isn't the other person, and it isn't other things. It's the pride that's in you that you haven't learned to detox, or the flesh, or doing it your way. And when you submit to God and his ways, that pride has got to flee. Because it says in James, when you resist the devil, or when you submit to the Lord, in James 4, and you resist the devil, you got to submit to the Lord, you got to yield to the Lord's power. Then the devil and that pride, because that's all he's about is pride, me, myself, and I, Isaiah 14, that has got to bow the knee to you in Christ Jesus. So and that's when you're going to experience the true righteousness. That's when you're going to feel that you are right with God. You know, many people are confused. They don't know If they really please God. They want to please God, they have a desire to please God, but they really don't know if they're pleasing God because they're evaluating their pleasure, that God's pleasure with them, based on their performance, on what they do. And so they're confused about how they need to please God. And the way we please God is by faith. It really is. It's just by faith. The performance and the good works that we do is a result of our new position in Christ Jesus. That's how we were saved, and that's how we continue to be saved. Good works are the consequences, and our good performance are consequences of our salvation in Christ Jesus, who changed our position. So let's look at a story here in Luke. I just want to go to Luke. I talked about it a little bit in the last episodes, but I really want to read the whole complete story here. And it's very important, and it's so simple. It is so easy and simple, but most people have heard about this. But I just want to point out some things here. It's a parable. Now, we talked about what a parable is, and I have a whole series of parables, stories in the archives on lovebyexample.com. But a parable is a spiritual story, a physical story being told that brings out the spiritual truth, something that's laid along something else that shows a comparison. But you can get the truth and the meaning of it from laying these a physical and a spiritual. Remember I said everything we think and say and do begins in a spiritual realm because God is spirit and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and he created everything. So everything first starts in a spiritual realm, then it trickles down into our physical realm. Just like our thoughts. We can't see our thoughts. We can't see sin. We can't see Jesus. We can't see God. We can't see demons. We can't touch them with our natural eyes because they're in the spiritual realm. But by faith, we can believe and receive how we need to respond towards these spiritual entities. So he gives us these parables, these earthly stories. They have spiritual meaning and truths so we can understand them. And the only people going to understand the parables are those that believe. So everything starts by faith in Christ Jesus and God. But here's what it says in Luke chapter 18. And here's a parable, a short one. It says, and talking about Jesus, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves. See? That they were righteous and despised others. See, there it is right there. We're not to trust in ourselves because there's nothing in ourselves that's worthy to be accepted by God because of sin that still lingers in us. He says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified or saved or right, okay? And he says, rather than the other. So that means the other didn't leave church righteous or just. He was all wrong. Wow. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, isn't that story right there, that parable is just so simple, it really doesn't need explaining. But the Pharisee in Jesus' time, they were religious, middle class, kind of like businessmen kind of people. And they did kind of socialize a little bit with the common people, where the Sadducees, that's the other group, they were the rich folks. They didn't mingle with the common people. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were like the religious leaders of the day. But they exalted, like I said earlier, they exalted and treated their oral traditions as equal with the Word of God and mishmashed it together, and it came out very confusing. And so many people were confused, but they just did what the Pharisees and the Sadducees told them to do. And that's why Jesus said, except your righteousness, your behavior, and your attitude exceeds the Pharisees and the scribes, you won't get to heaven, because he's saying they're not right. So here you have a Pharisee coming to church now, to men coming to church or coming to the temple to pray, and this Pharisee comes in. You see what he says? He says, look at that. He comes and says he trusted in himself, okay, and that he was righteous, and he despised others. So here you have this Pharisee, the so-called religious leader that goes to church, puts his trust in himself, and then he despises other people. And then he starts praying to himself, and he thanks God that he's not like, look at this, a robber, an unjust adulterer, or an adulterer, or a tax, or like this tax collector that's over here in the corner, way in the back, while he's up in front. And then the Lord said, the tax collector, when he went to church, he went there humbled. He went this beating himself on the chest like, you know, he's just not worthy to even be here. He's probably sitting way in the back somewhere of the pews, and his eyes, he wouldn't even look up to heaven. And all he could say was, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Look at that. He recognized his need. There was no pride in him. There was no exalting himself and putting other people down or arguing and fighting. And you know, he just fell before the Lord and cried out for mercy. And the Lord said that that man went away just. And another word for just is declared righteous. My goodness, brothers and sisters, you see that? How God looks at the heart. He didn't look at what the Pharisee had and all the clothes he wore and all the fancy jewelry and him tithing and praying so everybody could see him and all this external. God doesn't look on the external. He looks in the heart, 1 Samuel 16:7 and John 7:24. God judges the heart, the inner part of our most being. And again, your heart to be accepted towards God has to be Christ's heart. That's why you have to enter the kingdom of God being born again through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. The only way that we're accepted with God, the only way we're approved by God is to bow the heart, bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and just cry out mercy for God. And God will give you that mercy through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so it's very important that we understand the difference between our righteousness, our human righteousness. Not that human beings can do good things. I mean, a lot of sinners that don't know Christ and aren't born again, they do good things. It's not to say that they're bad, but they're not redemptively accepted by God. They're doing it. See, if you're not doing it from God's heart, from God's new nature that he's given us, really behind that giving is your pride. You might not see it, but it is. Because the only righteousness that we can give to God is what he's given to us. And then he accepts it because it's through Christ. See, you'll believe. When you believe in something, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. But if you're just trying to just crank it out, and so you can see that people, you know, you're just as good as somebody else, and you'll get a brownie button over there, or you want everybody to know, like, I gave this much, I did this. I mean, you see it all the time if you watch TV. Everybody's patting everybody on their, everybody's patting themselves on the back on what they've done. They gave to this charity. I did this. I did this. It's all about I. That's for their glory. It's not for God's glory. God's looking for people who realize why they're created, what their purpose is, and that they're giving God glory. We were created, every human being was created by God in his image to give him glory. That's it. To give him glory. To boast. He's the creator of the universe, the architecture of all times, you know, and the keeper of creation, you know, and he deserves all praise. Who are we to not give him the praise and the glory that is due to him? And this is why I love this Psalms that talks about that we can cry out to Him and He will deliver us from all our fears. Because God hasn't given His people the spirit of fear. You know that in 2 Timothy 1:7. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And in Romans 8:15, it says that we have not received the spirit of bondage to get into fear, but we receive the spirit of adoption where we can cry out, Abba, Father. So, brothers and sisters, it is important for us to know who we are in Christ. My book, Do You See What I See?, has four P's. Our new position in Christ, a brand new righteous position, holy position, sinless position in Christ, brand new power, resurrection power with spiritual gifts that we get to dive in to, gifts that He has given us, and then our good works come from our new position and our power. And then we'll be staying in the presence and the awareness of who God is. Isn't that beautiful? So brothers and sisters, that's why it's important for us to understand our position in Christ, because in our position in Christ, then we are experiencing the righteousness of God. Praise the Lord. I just thank God for what He's doing and just who He is. And so we just need to be focused. We just need to be focused on who we are in Christ. Hallelujah. You know, I love Proverbs 25. It says, when there's, this is what we're doing too in our Bible studies. It says in Proverbs 20, let me read that really quick. Proverbs 20, verse 5. See, this Pharisee, when he went to church, he wasn't thinking about glorifying God. He was thinking about himself. And, you know, and he even says that he prayed to himself. My goodness. And that's why it's important for you to be aware of how you're communicating with God. To be aware if Christ Jesus is your pursuit. Here's what it says in 25. It says, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep waters, but a man of understanding will draw it out. See, that's basically saying your mind and your new nature is like deep waters. It's eternity. He put eternity in our heart, Ecclesiastes 3:11. But you know what? He says, but a wise person that understands that and believes that, they're going to dig it out. And when I mean dig it out, you're going to be digging in the Word of God to find out who you are in Christ. And I believe the questions in my book on page 17, you know, why are you here? What's your purpose? And where are you going to be going in your life? Your destiny in your life? Those answers, those questions to those answers, to those questions are found when you dig into who you are in Christ. And that's why I feel sadly that so many people today are just kind of wandering around with no real purpose in their lives. They're just kind of getting up, going to work 9 to 5 kind of a thing. And just, you know, it's just like they're just existing. They're really not experiencing their reason and their purpose of why they're alive. They're just kind of like spotless. It's just like, there's no clue to why they're existing. And so they just kind of go along with the regular, you know, 5 cents, 5 to 9 kind of life. But God has created you for greatness. He has created you to glorify Him and to understand who He is and what He has for you. But you have to dig. Like that Proverbs 25, you got to dig in the Word of God, dig around and hang around other people that are digging in the Word of God, and let that Proverbs 17, iron sharpens iron, to encourage you to learn how to pull down those strongholds, those toxic remaining thoughts that are still in us. And if you don't know about that, you need to read Romans 6, 7, and 8, but they're still in us. Even though we're sinless and perfect in Christ, and we put on it's like putting on a new coat. We put on the robe of righteousness, His righteousness. You know, we were baptized into His death. We were baptized into His life. That means we were immersed, submerged into Him, made clean and righteous. That's Romans 6. But we also have remaining leftover toxic thoughts and sinful sin in our bodies. That's why our bodies are dying. That's why we get gray hairs. That's why we lose teeth. That's why, you know, things happen, because death is working in us. But it doesn't have the final word, because once we're absent from the body, we're going to be present with the Lord. But meanwhile, you can prolong your days by staying in the Word of God. That's what it says in Psalm. You know, why die before your time? And that's why I look. I told my husband today, I want to live out the full years that God is destined for me to live out. And if you read Psalms 91, I like the very last verse. find it here for you. But it says right here in Psalms 91, it says right here, and here it is. It says, here it is, Psalms 91. Come on now, where's Psalms 91? There it is. It talks about, you shall, here it is, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Long life. Why die before your time when you're promised long life? So I believe a lot of believers might be losing their life early in life because they're not taking care of their lives. Really. Really. And when, if disease attacks you, fight that baby back. If the enemy attacks you, fight him back. Do what Jesus did. When he was out there in the wilderness, every time the enemy came to fight his position, to accuse him of his power and to tempt him in his performance, he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. Speak the word of God back to the enemy. And to those that want to despitefully use you, speak the word of God back. And you can speak back in love, because the Lord tells us to love our enemies. You know, and how do you do that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it in ourselves, but in the spirit of who you are in Christ and his Holy Spirit, we can love our enemies. My goodness. You know, I love, it says on my book, on the cover of 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Isn't that beautiful? I just thank the Lord. And that's what I want you to experience, this newness of life, who you really are in Christ. He has given us a brand new heart. Ezekiel 36:26 and Jeremiah 31:33. He's, and in Hebrews 10:19-20, he's given us a brand new heart, a brand new beginning, a brand new start. And he is a great God. He is an awesome God. And he wants us to experience how great he is. Don't you want to experience that, your creator? Why live a whole life of your lifetime never tapping into who he created you to be? And you are not an accident. Hey, I got to get ready to go. I love you. I want you to know that he is a great God, a great Savior, and he loves you. In Jesus' name, enjoy this song. God bless you.
I sought my Yah, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Psalm 34:4. I sought my Yah, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. I sought my Yah, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. How great is your name, Yah, great in all the earth. How great is your name, Yah, great in all the earth. When I was afraid, he answered me.
He delivered me from all my fears.
Oh, when I was afraid, he answered me.
He delivered me. He was right there.
How great is your name, Yah, great in all the earth. How great is your name, Yah, great in all the earth. How great.
I lift my hands and say,
how great.
You're worthy to be praised.
How great is your name, Yah, great.